Well, we're in this series on 3 days that changed the world. Those 3 days are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're pretty familiar with Friday, are we not? Friday, last week we looked at that, the cross. Jesus died on the cross. We're pretty familiar with Sunday, Jesus' resurrection out of the grave. What happened on Saturday? What happened on Saturday? You know, there are millions. I went to the Google and just looked for all the books about the cross or about Friday. There's absolutely millions on there. You look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Easter, and there are millions of books there. We have lots of songs that we sing about the cross and about Friday. We have songs about the resurrection and Jesus coming out of the grave. What about Saturday? Give me a song about Saturday. Give me a book about Saturday. Why Saturday? What happened on Saturday? Did we know anything about what happened on Saturday? Why should we even care about what happened on Saturday? Well, we know that the disciples were silent. It was sort of a day of silence. The disciples were silent. They were behind closed doors. They were scared. Fear, trembling. There's not a whole lot in the Bible about Saturday. And I'm convinced that Saturday is a very significant day for us to understand. So let's back up just a little bit and look at what happened on Friday that will give us a glimpse into Saturday. It's a picture of Jesus there on the cross, and on either side of him were the two thieves. You find Luke's account of that in chapter 23, verse 43, and he says, "And he said to them," this is his words to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Who did he say that to? The one thief that says, we are guilty. We're getting exactly what we deserve. The thief on the other side said, if you are God, do something about this. If you are God, why don't you get off the cross and get us off the cross? Are you really God? And the other thief was sort of reprimanding him, saying, this man in the middle did nothing to deserve what is happening to him. We deserve what we did. We're guilty. We know that. But this man, he is innocent. And then he turns to this man in the middle, Jesus, and he says, remember me. Remember me. I'm getting what I deserve. I admit that. But remember me. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Paradise, where's paradise? Where is paradise? Well, it's not mentioned many times in the Bible, except in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus is speaking to the seven churches, and he speaks to the church at Ephesus. In the very last verse of his word to Ephesus, he says that all of those that are victorious are overcome, you'll come and partake of the tree of life in paradise. Where else is that tree of life mentioned? Genesis. We live between two trees. The tree of life in Genesis, when the world was perfect and there was a fall, it all crashed. And we live now between those two trees. And there'll be another tree that we will actually be able to participate in the tree of life in paradise. So where would that be? He's talking about heaven. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Why is that so important? What happens to you when you die? What happens a moment after? You see, our bodies are buried, but not our spirit. You cannot bury your spirit. Your spirit death just simply means separation from the body. And separation of the spirit from the body. Jesus' body was put in the grave, but not his spirit. Today, they'll put my body in the grave, but today you'll be with me in paradise. Now that didn't just end on that day. That continued on. Let me say a word about this, another word about this. This is a wonderful picture of God's grace. is that you see on one side a criminal that rejects Jesus and says all the bad things, but on the other side, you see the act of God's grace. Here's a man that has not done anything to deserve forgiveness, has he? He's a criminal. It's kind of a last moment confession. He's a criminal. He's not earned it. He's not deserved any kind of God's grace. And yet Jesus turns to him and said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." All of a sudden, watch this picture. Now, this is the act of grace. This man was a criminal. The next moment, he was in paradise. Can you picture that? Do you know where they were being crucified? Criminals were crucified outside of the city walls in the city dump. And the moment that he died, he went from the dump to paradise. He did not earn it or deserve it. What's God trying to show us in that? Some of you, if you're like many people, say, "Well, I've not done as many bad things as some of those other people have." But what God wants you to know is that every one of us are like that criminal. Every one of us. Every one of us. And none of us earn it or deserve it. So if you some way are thinking that maybe I can live good enough, the picture of the cross is the picture of God's grace. That he will take you from the dump that you're in. Do any of you feel like you're in the dump today? Do you ever feel like the world has dumped on you? You know, there are times that our lives feel like the dump. But the promise here of those crosses hanging up there, the three crosses, you see them everywhere, is that the cross in the middle is Jesus. And on one side is the thief. And the other side is the thief, but he repents. And the message is this, is there's not a single one of us any better than any one of those thieves. That is what God is trying to say to us. And it's only by his grace that we'll be taken from the dump, that we'll be taken from our criminal past of evil that is within us, and immediately be with him in paradise. Now, there are some that debate that. And if you go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it talks about that. Because I'm saying, well, Jesus went to hell. Did you ever hear that? Where was Jesus after he died? Well, some would say that he went to hell. Even a creed. The Apostles' Creed would indicate some of that. Well, let's read that. "For God also suffered once for our sin, the righteous for the unrighteous." The unrighteous thief, Jesus in the middle of the righteous, "that he might bring us to God and be put to death in the flesh." Now, I want you to watch this closely. Jesus was put to death in the flesh, but not in the spirit. His flesh, his old body died, yes. But his spirit was made alive in the spirit in which he went and proclaimed to spirits in prison. Now, we're not real sure, in all honesty. There's all kinds of theories about that, of where that prison is. But if he did some way go and proclaim to those spirits in prison, what did he proclaim? It was not a proclamation of a second chance. It's a proclamation, "I won. I got accomplished exactly what I was sent here to do." What was the last words of Jesus on the cross? "It is finished." There's nothing more to do. It has been completed in total. It has been completed in total. So when he went there to die on the cross, it is finished. He gave up his spirit, committed that spirit. See what? Follow me now. He committed that spirit, His body went to the grave, but he committed that spirit to God. It continued to live, just like you and me. For followers of Jesus Christ, we're separated from the body, but present with the Lord. Now, what were the Pharisees doing on Saturday? What was Saturday? Saturday was for them the day of Sabbath, rest. They took that very serious. You did no labor on the Sabbath, none whatsoever. But you notice, watch how these Pharisees and scribes broke their own law. Chapter 27, verse 62. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, which is Friday, now he's talking about Saturday, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that imposter," talking about Jesus, "said that he was would still be alive, that after 3 days he's going to rise out of that grave." They were breaking the law by going to him on that next day. Now, all we know that the disciples were doing is it was a day of Sabbath and they were probably resting. But it's also a day of reality, a reality of what was really happening. And so they go there in verse 64, "Therefore, order the tomb to be secure until the third day, lest the disciples go and steal away and tell the people he is risen from the dead." And the last fraud, in other words, this would be a fraud, and he was a fraud for this, going to be worse than the first if some way this story gets out to say that he's been raised from the dead. Go and make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure. Notice how they did that. By sealing the stone, what's the seal? The Roman seal. This is ironic. Is that they ordered the tomb sealed. In other words, this huge stone over the grave now, over the tomb entrance, and a rope put across there, and the Roman seal actually is a clay that would be put on there, and then the Roman seal stamped on that to seal that tomb. Even the Roman government and authorities said, "He is buried." Did you notice that? They were the authority that said, "This really did happen. He was really buried." Now, it says a Roman guard. Sending a guard. You know what a Roman guard was? That was 16 soldiers. And they would be on guard, and they would take rotation of taking a nap or sleeping. But if one that was on guard went to sleep, what do you think they did with him? They killed him. Not only that, they kill all 16. Do you think they would make sure everybody stayed awake? The ones that were on duty? So you see how secure that was? That Jesus really was put in that tomb. There is a swoon theory that Jesus went into the tomb and it was cool in there and he regained consciousness and was able to wiggle out of all that winding of cloth around him, and then was able to have enough strength to move that big boulder of tons of rock back and get out. That's the swoon theory. In fact, that is what the Muslims would even say in the Quran that happened, that he really didn't die. It just looked like he did. And then, you can believe that. It takes a lot of faith to believe something like that, but you can believe that, I guess, if you want. But the point here is I like the ironic that the Romans really put an authority on there by that stamp of a seal to say he really died and he's really buried. That's really the guy that's in there. Because they would go in and before the burial take place, they would actually go in and check that burial place to make sure no one is there and to make sure the right person is in there. And then they sealed it on top of that. That's what happened on Saturday. The Roman guards were guarding that tomb on Saturday to make sure that there's no falsification of the burial of Jesus Christ. Paul, in his message, when he began to proclaim this to the Corinthians, look at it, he said, "For I deliver to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." Did you ever find it interesting? He says, according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures was he talking about? The Old Testament and the prophecies. Over and over it talked about the death of Christ. And then it says he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to what? The Scriptures. So he's just saying here what the prophets have been telling us is that it is true. So what we know here has happened on Saturday is Jesus was buried and he was in the tomb, and Romans even authenticate that he was there and he was buried. There's something about burial that is an exclamation point of death. The reality of it. The reality of it. When someone, especially if they die suddenly, like I did a funeral some time ago of a young man that had been killed in a hunting accident, all of a sudden. And his girlfriend especially was having a terrible time with the reality of that. She would not accept that. I don't know that I've ever had anyone any more angry. And she was angry at anybody, and she was angry at me. She said, this is kind of my coaching before the funeral, "Don't you say anything about God." Well, that really helps you out when you're getting ready. What kind of hope can I give in that, you know? And I remember standing up there in the funeral, and she sat right on the very front. And she tried to stare me down. I never saw such look of hate as she watched me during that whole service. We got out to the cemetery for the burial. This is sort of the Jesus was buried, the reality. There's something about the reality of that. And she said, "I'm not leaving." And they went ahead and they tried to get her to leave. She wouldn't. And they went ahead and did the burial, which you typically don't stay around for. She would not leave. And finally, the funeral director said, "We need your help." I said, "Thanks a lot. You're supposed to be doing this, you know, but we can't get her to leave." So I went down by the grave and put my arm around her. And I said, "I don't understand this either. And I understand you're angry. That's all right. I think I'd probably be angry too." There was something about that at that moment that God just some way touched her. And her whole demeanor began to change. We began to walk away from that grave back to the car. The reality of that is not easy. And that is the point here, that Jesus on Saturday was the exclamation point of the reality that Jesus really did die. He really did die. His earthly body really did die, and he died for our sin, Paul is saying. He died for our sin. It's an exclamation point. He really went to the grave. His spirit was alive back in paradise or in heaven, but he really died. I remember my dad was always a good planner ahead, and before he and my mom died, he bought the cemetery plots. He bought two more for me and Charlene in case we'd need them. And maybe Jesus will come back first. And he even bought the headstone. Had his name on it, mom's name on it, his birth date on it, 1906, and a dash. My mother's birth date and a dash. And it was blank. And I never thought too much about that. That never did. And he told me about that. And that never was all that real to me until we went to the cemetery and we buried him. And all of a sudden I looked there and I thought, the reality of that dash just came home to me. this is real. There's something about burial, see, Jesus being buried, that brings the reality of that. Right now, every one of you are a dash. Every one of you have a birth date and a dash and a blank. We worked with a church out in Roswell, New Mexico some time ago, and the pastor just finished a book entitled Living Your Dash. That's all you got right now. You're between two trees. You're between the birth and a dash. And right now, Saturday is our dash. Here's the cross of Jesus Christ, forgiveness of our sins. But none of us are in heaven yet. None of us have reached paradise yet. You and I today live in Saturday. And Saturday doesn't always make sense. Saturday didn't make sense to the disciples. We thought he was going to overthrow Rome. We thought he was going to be the next emperor. We thought he was going to set us free. And look what happened. Saturday's a dark day. And every one of us right now, we live in Saturday. And many times, Saturday doesn't make sense. But we have the promise of that blank part over there. When they fill that in on your headstone, we have the promise of Jesus of what happens there. Look at it in Luke chapter 18. Jesus took the 12 aside, that's the 12 disciples, and told them, we're going to go to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets. Here it is now. Jesus said, you know, the Old Testament, the prophets, they've talked about the coming of the Messiah and his death and his resurrection. That's all been proclaimed by them about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. I'm going to fulfill that. He'll be handed over, talking about himself. He'll be handed over to the Gentiles. That was the Romans. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. Fairly detailed of what's going to happen, isn't it? On the third day, he will rise again. I like this next verse because it fits us all. Verse 34. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. It was like a riddle. And neither do you or I understand Saturday. There's so much in Saturday that we do not understand and so much that doesn't make sense. And on a Saturday, many times God is silent. Do you ever feel like God is so far away from you? Maybe even today. If you read the Psalms, you'll see the psalmist sometimes say, God, where are you? Why aren't you listening? Can you hear me? And some of you today may feel like, oh man, I'm in the darkest of Saturday. God seems so far away. I don't understand. Isn't there times in your life you don't understand Saturday? It doesn't make sense. That's the reason why I think that to pause for a bit and think about Saturday is so very important for us. The reality of this man on the cross that died for our sins. The reality that we all are like the thief on the cross. We don't earn it or deserve it. We're as guilty as a thief on the cross. And we live in a dump of sin. The world, no matter how well you dress it up, we still live in a dump of sinful world. Saturday is so important for us to understand. Because Saturday is where we live today. We don't live in yesterday. We don't live in tomorrow. There's a dash for our life right now. And many times, this Saturday Doesn't make sense. Many of you may be familiar with the name Fanny Crosby. Fanny wrote many, many songs. She was actually blind most all of her life. She was blind at age 3 months old. But she lived to be 94 years old. She was very, very intelligent. She became a student at New York Institute of the Blind and actually became part of the faculty there at age 22. She worked with all of these hymns that she wrote, 8,000 during her lifetime. 8,000. I mean, days she'd crank out more than one. And Phoebe, a friend of hers that she would go over, and actually Phoebe's husband was named Cap, actually one of the founders of Metropolitan Life Insurance. And her name was Palmer, Phoebe Palmer Cap, was a very good keyboard artist and created some songs herself. And one day that Fanny was over at her house and she was playing the piano and she said, "Hey, Fanny, listen to this." And she played a tune. And when she played the tune, she said, "What comes to your mind? What does that tune say to you?" And she immediately said, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Fanny lived in Saturday, a dark Saturday, all of her life. But she lived with a blessed assurance of the promise of Jesus. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste beyond the dash. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. She lived a whole life of a dark Saturday or a dash in her life, but with a promise, and that assurance was a deep assurance in her, that immediately she heard that hymn, she said, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." For some, Saturday are unbelievers that scoff at the whole deal. Some on Saturday are like the thief. If God is so great, why is he letting all this happen in our lives? And you may be that way at times. Have you ever felt that way? God, if you're really real, why are you letting, why don't you do something? If you're the Son of God on the cross, why don't you come and relieve me? Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever speak like the thief on the cross? Where are you, God? Why are you letting this happen? I think all of us sometime or another have felt that way. We all live right now in the dash. But remember the proclamation of Jesus. I have won. I have won. So in this time of waiting for this promise, blessed assurance, that's what we're to do. Rest in this blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We're going to sing that before we leave. We're going to sing that last verse, perfect submission. See, that's what one of the thieves on the cross did. He submitted to Christ. Perfect submission, all is at rest. Fanny Crosby found rest on Saturday. It was a day of Sabbath. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. That's Saturday. Waiting, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. That is what you do on Saturday. So some of you that right now saying, "My Saturday is really dark," blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You never get out of Saturday in this life. Because Sunday is coming, but it's not here yet. You've not come to the end of that dash yet. But blessed assurance, Jesus spoke it. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.